you have any pecan pie, is what I'm saying. Well, I know you have pumpkin pie. I don't want any pumpkin. What? No, I love pumpkin pie. I just don't want any. All right, we'll talk later. I got to do this here. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner, where it's beginning to smell an awful lot like Thanksgiving. Doesn't look like Thanksgiving. Nobody really knows what Thanksgiving looks like, aside from a few cliches. You know, the cardboard pictures of some turkeys, always with a big smile. Gobble, gobble, I'm going to be decapitated soon. Can't wait. And, you know, the inevitable pilgrim with a buckle on his hat and a blunderbuss in his hand about ready to shoot off said head from said turkey. And that's about it for the iconography of this particular season, this event. They haven't even put that stuff up yet. Not even any orange crepe. I think they just have the crepe left over from Halloween, put that stuff back up again. By the third week of November, the Halloween orange crepe has recontextualized itself as Thanksgiving crepe, if you also put up some brown crepe, I think. And once again, I got to kick myself for not buying brown crepe futures. I'd be cleaning up at a time of year like this. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilax, and I'm at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern formica counter. You're at the diner on an old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. And you ought to stop by and have the pie. There's lots of it. They're making them hand over fist back there. Or whatever term you would use for rapid pie construction. Fists aren't really that helpful. Well, I suppose they would be to pound the dough. You pound pie dough? No, it's crust. You don't pound it at all. You gently poke it into the dish and then you crank it with your crinkle of the egg. Crimp? Is that the technical term for pie crust readjustment? You crimp it? Gotta have that crimp. I don't know what you do without that crimp. I don't know why it's there. Some sort of scallop decoration apparently is inherent in the pie genre and people feel obliged to put it on. I don't. Never once in my life had a good piece of pie that was lip-smackingly delicious and said, great, but it lacked crimping. No, pie's good. But for me personally, we're just at a peculiar point in the pie consumption season. Apple pie, frankly, year-round. I'll have apple pie any time of the year. Oddly enough, apple pie seems to be a summertime treat because of its associations with motherhood and baseball. Nobody ever says that's as American as motherhood, hockey, and apple pie. It just wouldn't compute. Apple pie is good. We used to serve it back in my waitering days with a slice of cheese on top. Never quite understood that. Tried it once, liked it, but I couldn't quite shake the feeling that I had cheese on my apple pie for no really good reason, especially because of the cheese we used. I mean, it was that industrial restaurant vinyl stuff that you people, you know, they get huge, they get a big roll of it in the back in the freezer and then cut off pieces with a scissors. It's horrible. So there's that. There's mince pie, which I don't eat. I don't know why. I think I'm saving mince pie for my 60s or something. A man's got to look forward to something, don't you? You have to reserve certain pleasures for later in life. Of course, what if you turn 60 and you have your first mince pie and you have successfully convinced yourself that the mince in the pie is not mince meat, which is, as far as I understand it, is actually finely granulated, chopped up, excretory, circulatory, adrenal glands of various animals whose major edible portions were used for other good things like steaks and hamburgers. I mean, if you had finally believed that mince pie was not, fleshy stuff in there with brown sugar, crimped, and you had a bite and you thought, this is incredible, you said, Shatner-like, and you realized you'd gone your entire life without the joys of mince. I don't know. Then again, I'll have to take that chance, I guess. Now, pecan pie. Never been a pecan man, frankly. I can take them, or I can leave them alone. And if I take them, I will go somewhere else and then leave them alone there. Just don't do anything for me, pecans. But when you put them in that rich nougat with brown sugar, and I'm not actually certain whether or not the crust on a pecan pie is crimped or not. There's so little I know, so little I know. So much to know in life. What did the man say? The pie art is long, the life is short. I love pecan pie. And again, came to it late. I think in my 20s, I finally availed myself of pecan pie. And once I could get around the essential pecan-ness, realized that that was the least important attribute of the pie itself. It was the incredibly sweet syrup in which it resides, in which the pecans float. Ah, but pumpkin pie. There's just nothing like it. You can have it warm, you can have it cold, you can have it with ice cream, you can have it with whipped cream. It's perfect, but for some reason, I can't have it until Thanksgiving. I gotta wait. I gotta sit here in a self-denying pumpkin pie state for whatever anal retentive rules of my life situation that nobody else subscribes to or need to, but I'm having pumpkin pie pushed on me all the time. All the time. You go to Perkins, have a pumpkin pie. You go to somebody's house for dinner, have a pumpkin pie. What can you say? It's not right yet. It doesn't feel right. I'm waiting for somebody to put up the paper cutouts of pilgrims with blunderbusses. Then I'll have my pumpkin pie, and people look at you like you're odd, which you are. And now I want some pumpkin pie. Maybe I could have some pumpkin bread. Would that count? Would that be breaking my self-imposed pumpkin embargo? It's like the arguments we had in the later years of the Clinton administration when a certain form of consensual sexual activity, whether or not that constituted infidelity, which would mean that pumpkin pie was actual penetrative sex and pumpkin bread would be... Never mind. No. I wonder if there's anything else pumpkin-flavored. It's not a flavor that really carries very well. Not a lot of pumpkin-flavored cocoa around. Not a lot of pumpkin cereal. That's a pity. You'd think that they... What with the almost unbroken string of pumpkin iconography and the presence of pumpkins between the 1st of November and the end of the year, there'd be pumpkin cereals. Maybe they just didn't want anything to impede on the Booberry Dracula Frankenberry troika that had its lock on the Halloween cereals, but, you know, there's no Thanksgiving cereals, and you really can't do anything with giblets and gravy and white meat and dark meat and the rest of it. Nobody wants to have a cereal that's wishbone, you know, shaped. You could have pumpkin cereal with little hard marshmallow pumpkin nodules, and it would turn the milk orange. It'd be great. But I have to wonder who was the first person to decide to make pumpkin pie anyway. It's like eggs. Who's the first guy to look at that thing coming out of the back of a chicken and say, let's break that open and eat it? And same with pumpkins. I mean, they're disgusting. You put your hand inside of one of those things and nobody feeling around in those slimy, wet, cool guts thinks, gosh, man, if I baked this up in a pan, crimped the edges... we're talking dessert. No. It's like putting your hands inside of a dead sheep and thinking, well, let's do something with this. Of course, that's what the Scots do, haggis and the rest of it. No, that's what I'm having for Thanksgiving this year, I think, though. We're going to have duck and haggis, which is a turkey stuffed inside of a duck, stuffed inside of a chicken, which is stuffed inside of a sheep's stomach, and then deep fried. Good eating. Well, what am I doing here exactly? I'm looking at the jukebox, and I'm paging through it, trying to see if there's any Thanksgiving-themed songs. I go through this every year, don't I? You know, it's like every year I think that they will have opened some vault and found a bunch, you know, found Billie Holiday singing Pass Me the Gravy or something. I wouldn't want to hear that. She'd make it sound naughty somehow. And just the idea of a heavy-lidded heroin addict leaning against the microphone trying to add a sexual innuendo to gravy. Mama likes it with all the lumps. You know, I don't want that. So I don't think they're going to find any more Thanksgiving songs back there. In my luck, if they did, it would be Bing Crosby. No, if Bing Crosby had done a Thanksgiving song, we'd have heard it by now. 147,000 times. I've come to not like Bing Crosby. I don't hate him, but I just am sort of weary of the easy charm of his voice, frankly, and the effortless friction that he brings to it. It's just starting to grate on me. I love White Christmas. I love his whistling in White Christmas. But if he had a Thanksgiving song, I don't know what it would be. brown up the Stuffin' Mama or something. They'd start playing it in August, is all I'm saying. All right, let's take a look. Oh, it's possible there's some new parody song by Weird Al Yankovic, who has maybe taken some pop song of the day that naturally lends itself to his parodic gifts and turned it into a Thanksgiving tune. Are there any pop songs of the day actually you can do that to now? I mean, really. I don't hear very much, because I'm just strenuously disinterested in most contemporary pop music. I prefer to spend my time spelunking in the particular caves of my own genres that interest me, but what I hear on the radio, it's stuff kids listen to today, it's all noise, it's just a bunch of thumping. But, I mean, if you listen to some of these songs where people are no longer singing, but simply breathily, mush-mouthedly half-enunciating the various come-ons and put-downs over a thumping beat, it's not the sort of thing that Weird Al could do much with. Guy's got to sit around his house all day listening to song after song after song saying, hey, I got nothing to work with here. I got nothing to work with. Nope, it's not like the good old days where you could take Madonna's Like a Virgin and turn it into Like a Sturgeon and make $37 million. I hope Weird Al invested well, that's all I'm saying. All right, let us avail ourselves of the selections chosen by the mysterious keeper of the jukebox and see what we have here at... let's try M1. Oh, God. Turkey in the Straw. That's all there is. Follow up to their smash hit, Chicken in the Hay. Music for a 1920s Disney cartoon. What you say? Ah, look at Gramps dance. It's like they had one song in the olden days, Turkey in the Straw. Learn that one and your future as a musician is pretty much assured. Show up for a gig, take requests. What would you like to hear? Turkey in the Straw. Okay. Then you're encore. Turkey in the Straw, anybody? Yeah! They had one song in the 18th century, which was Yankee Doodle, and then they had Turkey in the Straw for 100 years, and then came the 20th century, and we started getting into your top 10. Anyway, all right, let's see what else we have here. Looks like he did put some turkey-themed music up here. I'm going to skitter on ahead a couple of pages over here. My little personal countertop Rockola jukebox to C2. Huh, it's Thanksgiving with the juvenile delinquents. Dig the wiggle on that crazy gelatinous cranberry cylinder, daddy-o.
The turkey hop.
Boy, when you start,
you don't want to stop.
If you want to be slick,
you will grab a chick.
Then do the turkey hop
and never stop.
You won't be blue if you learn to do
turkey hop.
Poke out your chest, pull in your neck,
and your knees will do the rest.
Let's do the turkey.
You know, in all these songs about a dance craze, it's always the same. Once you start to do it, you'll never want to stop. Did anybody ever consider the impact that would have on national productivity statistics? Yeah, I don't think so. Think the saxophone player is gonna barf. Wow. Never heard that happen before. Apparently, once you start to do the turkey bop, you can stop if your stomach is convulsed with an unreasonable need to empty itself. I suppose when you only have enough money to rent a studio for half an hour or something, and You know, you get one take and there you go. No amount of payola put that one over the top. Well, sorry for them. Let's see if we have anything else here. Looks like there's more turkey-related stuff than I thought. Let's try T1.
Hey, old turkey. Did you hear about the fight in the barn last night?
Great, a story song.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Huh?
Mr. Fox was hungry this Thanksgiving night. Somewhere, somehow, he had to get a bite. Then he thought about Farmer Brown and all those fat turkeys he had walking around. Just the one. All he wanted was a fat one. Just the one fat turkey. Well done.
All he wanted was a fat one. Well done. Now, let's look at this. It's Thanksgiving night, right? And the fox is going to the turkey house, expecting to find a fat turkey. That if there is a fat turkey on Thanksgiving night, it's going to be nestled in people's guts. And how is he going to make it well done?
Well done.
Yeah, foxes are not known for their control of fire. Okay, I think that's the only song I've ever heard that concludes with somebody blowing the head off a fox and killing a turkey at the same time. Good shot. I think we should go into the magic bullet theory here for this. The bullet entered the fox's head right there in the neck and then bounced off the sternum and went clean through the turkey, unless, of course, the farmer was using a shotgun, which is entirely likely. Let's examine the entire song, though. It does not hold together dramatically. It starts out with the singer asking the other turkeys if they know what went down in the turkey barn the night before. And we know they're turkeys because they respond gobble, gobble, gobble in the time-honored language of the turkey American community. And so she then proceeds to sing the story for them with unusual gusto, given that they're essentially talking about the abduction of one of their own. And then at the end, she asks them if they know what happened, sort of repeats the song for them. They're now speaking in English, and they are unaware, again, that anything happened. Well, we're describing a night in which your most feared predator entered your house, stole one of your comrades, took them out, and then was shot dead outside the house by a farmer. And mind you, not just any farmer, but the farmer who we presume exercises life or death over these turkeys all the time. So moment they heard the screen door open in the farmer's house, they would all be at full alert, not knowing if this was the time. But then again, let's look at something else. The song begins by saying that it was Thanksgiving night. So we have to presume that the fattest bird, which was not Miss Sally, was taken out and is dead and all the rest of it. Which means, essentially, that there's nothing to worry about because no one really goes back for seconds in the coop. You don't say at Thanksgiving dinner, "Is everybody still hungry?" First of all, nobody ever is. "Anybody still got room? Because I can go out back and get another turkey and pop it in the oven, and 8 hours from now, you know, we're going to have some more." Nobody does that. So it makes no sense, then, that the turkey would then be killed for Thanksgiving, since Thanksgiving has already happened. The song makes no sense, and I'm getting irritated just thinking about it. I'm going to have to use the facilities, if you will, wash up and steel myself as I walk past the row of fresh pumpkin pies on the counter cooling. Oh, man. No, 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 no. Be strong. I'll be right back after a word from some of our sponsors.
M'lady, leap, m'lady. See, hop, now leap, m'lady. M'lady, frozen fruit products for you. Cheese blintzes, apple, cherry, blueberry and strawberry, dumplings and potato latkes too. Dafür amula schnelle Mahlzeit greten zum Tisch. Serviert Milady products, sweet sein our favorite dish. Milady liebt Milady, sie hat ne lieb Milady. Milady, Milady, Milady liebt Milady, so will you.
Alle Maladies Blintzes werden gemacht von den besten Früchtestoffen. Kein Schum künstliche Verwürzungen werden nicht genutzt in Maladies. Ist für die beste Mahlzeiten für die ganze Familie. Fragt sich beim Namen nach Maladies, so nehmt nicht keine andere wie nur Maladies.
Probier es für ein schnelles Sack, ein ganz hübsches Mehl. So wird Milady Products, weil Milady hat Geschmackappeal. Milady liebt Milady, sie hat nur lieb Milady. Milady, Milady, Milady liebt Milady, so will you, so will you.
You can have vegetables, lots of them, on your table next winter. You can have your own fresh vegetables on your table this summer if you have your own Victory Garden. Yes, there's no restriction on home canning and home processing of vegetables and garden fruits and berries. Plan your Victory Garden now. Get your garden plot lined up. Get the advice of a garden expert if you need it. And be prepared to grow your own for Victory. Join a garden club or a community garden movement, or share a garden with your neighbors. You can help win the battle of food production. You can help our fighting men get the food they need. You can help save the vital metals used in commercial canning if you grow your own Victory Garden in 1943. For further information, write to Victory Gardens, Washington, D.C. Victory Gardens, Washington, D.C.
Arg, tempt me not with your pumpkin pie-related music. Where did that one come from? You know what I look forward to most about Thanksgiving? A couple of things. One, the mostly ignored relish tray. This was something we always had when I was growing up. Big relish tray, which always had some carrots. Crinkle cut. I wonder if they were hand-crimped by the same implement my mother used to crimp the pies. Olives, generally ignored by all. Radishes, which my father loved. My father was a big radish man. He liked pepper as well. I think it came from the fact that he spent most of his time around petroleum products and the accumulation of the vapors and the ambient chemicals in the atmosphere had completely destroyed his tongue whatsoever, and the only way he could get through to it was with drastic means like Tabasco and pepper and radishes. And there would be celery, which the women would gnaw upon under the idea that it would somehow ameliorate the pie to come. It would be touched, but nobody really wanted to... Well, let's put it this way. When you put down the relish tray, nobody ever warns you, don't fill up on relish now. People know better. They'll pick a little bit at it, but mostly they're waiting for the good stuff. Including the stuffing. Ah. Oh. I'd like to say I look forward to stuffing like Mom used to make, but I have no idea what Mom's stuffing was like. I didn't eat it. Like many kids, I just regarded the idea of stuffing as just not something in my vocabulary, frankly. What did I know? Of course, at a later age, you eat stuffing and you realize, ah, what I've been missing! Sort of like the mince pie experiencing I'm setting out for myself in my 60s. But shortly after I became enamored of stuffing, the rules changed. It wasn't enough to have the old stovetop stuffing style. Now you had to have different stuffing, innovative stuffing, stuffing that challenged your preconceptions of stuffing that broke the boundaries, shattered the paradigms of your stuffing-based experience, and which meant that people introduced all sorts of foreign elements into it to give it some cuisine attributes that, they put in fennel and, pencil erasers marinated in olive oil and, corn. No, I'm sorry, maize, hand-picked by some Peruvian maiden. At that point, stuffing just sort of became hit and miss. You never really knew what you were getting. Try this. It's our blackstrap molasses kibble Alpo 48-grain bread stuffing. Thanks.
You got any stovetop? You mean, you just got a box of stovetop I could chew on? Because I could make my own, you know, I could just put the stuffing in my mouth, the dry stuff, and then, you know, some water, and slush it around a little bit, and that'd be better than this stuff you're giving me! But you can't say that. No, you just eat the stuffing. Just eat it. Well, I wonder, is there anything left on this jukebox that's even vaguely Thanksgiving-related? Well, let's just try Z1.
Come on, let's turkey try.
My mind, I can't take it anymore. I'll have some of that pumpkin pie now. All I'm over. What do you mean it's for Thanksgiving only? You offered me a piece not 27 minutes ago. You offered me a. You asked if I wanted some pumpkin pie, and I do. You were asking me if I wanted it for Thanksgiving. Well, you can't hold out the prospect of immediate pumpkin pie and then suddenly snatch it away like that. I've got my palate set for it. I'm in the mood for pumpkin pie. I'm all about the pumpkin pie. Pumpkins are how I roll now, okay? Come here. Come back with that pie. Come back with that pie. Give me that pie.
Gobble diddle lip, gobble gobble diddle lip. Hey!
Give me that pie! Dishwasher have a punch. Brought that one up from the floor. Ooh. Well, I'm gonna go have this looked at. I guess I'm thankful for many things. I'm thankful I have a few teeth left. And my jaw is wired for the meal. I can take it through a straw and a, you know, liquefied turkey. I don't know. It could be good. Liquefied pumpkin pie. Ooh, that's gotta be good. Well, thank you for dropping by today, folks. I'm James Lilex, and this has been The Diner for Friday, November 16th, 2007. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you down the road. That's my kid.
Yeah, your turkey sure missed it last night.
Oh, yeah, what?